Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
With our good friend, the creator of the King's Beats and our 1320 Kings Insider, James Hamm. Hammer, what's happening, man?
What's going on, friendos?
How was your how were the boats in Memorial Day weekend?
The boats are work in progress. We had a little boat ride. We cleaned boats. That was one of the big things this weekend. Mm-hmm. We got a little work to do on the boats.
All right, I like that. I mean, getting it ready for. Well, I was gonna say getting it ready for 4th of July weekend, but it looks like you're gonna have to work.
No, I think James is gone, question mark?
No, I'm gone the week before. The 24th to the 1st.
Okay.
I'll be back for the 3rd and the 5th. Yeah, but the 4th of July here on the lake is a party. So we have our own fireworks show that goes off the dam. And so you get all your boats tied up together and everyone's hanging out in the water and watching fireworks. So it should be pretty cool.
You said this earlier, and it just registered with me. Our 4-day holiday just went to hell. We'll be at the
Golden. Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, so the Kings hate Mother's Day and 4-day holidays. Awesome. That's fantastic.
I'll be there for the 5 o'clock game, not the 3 o'clock game.
Yeah, they're good at that. They're good at. I mean, the California Classic, though, it's a blast.
Oh,
I think people
so
are
going
to have
fun.
A great time. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's going to be sold out. And, you know, I mean, some people go camping on those weekends, but it's always so crowded to go out and about. I just think that's probably the worst is the traffic that you'll have to deal with. But outside of that, I mean, such a great event. And to have an extra two teams at the California Classic is going to be spectacular. To have the potential, I don't know if it'll happen or not, for Wembanyama to play. Or Scoot Henderson or Brandon Miller, at least one of the three will play, and possibly two. That's just going to be crazy. It's going to be a really good time.
Can I just elaborate on something? Like this is why we're all really good in our roles, right? Because I couldn't do what Chris Haynes. I couldn't do what Chris Haynes does. I couldn't do what James does. Because if I was James, the first thing I would have said was, before boats, don't ask me about boats. I told you last week Charlotte and San Antonio were going to be a part of the California Classic. I told you.
Told
that's
ya.
Why I can't be a reporter. I'd run around telling everybody, I told you so. I told you so. That's why everybody, because James is better than I am. Look at that. Kings announced what I told you last week.
But let's also.
I'd be unbearable in James's role.
Let's also not act like. I mean, you ain't out here breaking news. I mean, come on, man. Just saying. Only one of us in this room beat Shams.
No, we collectively beat Shams. We collectively also got the clutch scoop. Mm-hmm. James got the scoop on Scoot, right. And potentially the Charlotte Hornets and San Antonio Spurs, and potentially. Scoot and Victor. We've been trying to figure out Victor's schedule and whether he'd be in the country or what exactly he would be doing around this time. But
what do you think?
I think
go ahead, James. Go ahead.
He'll fly in for the draft. So like it wouldn't be a shock if he's here. Whether he plays or not, I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him in a Spurs, you know, outfit, like hanging out, watching the game. Someone's already like making a, I don't even know what size that would be. It's like an extra small waist with like a, like 54 inch inseam, and you know, the arms are like quadruple extra long. I don't know. That's a tall dude.
What do you think, from everything that you heard, what it went into San Antonio and Charlotte becoming a part of this?
You know, I don't know. It was something that was happening long before the top two picks were announced, from what I can tell. You know, and again, the Kings have been mum on everything. That's why we kept saying it's a rumor, but it's a rumor with a very good source, but I couldn't get a double source. So I can't run with it as if it's factual and it's going to happen until we actually get some sort of credit, you know, some sort of secondary source on it. And that's why I was kind of like him and Han a little bit on it, but pretty sure that it was going to happen. And sure enough, I was out on a walk this morning when they decided to send the email out, and I'm looking halfway through my walk like, oh God. So I was sitting there walking and tweeting while I was out and about. But yeah, I think that this is like the California Classic has the potential to become like a really cool pre-Vegas like warm-up. And that's what we've seen the last couple of years from, you know, the Heat and the Warriors and the Lakers and the Kings all getting together. But I think it could expand, and it could continue to expand. Look at like Utah used to have their own version of Summer League. They still do, but it's really small at this point. And now I think all 30 teams are in Las Vegas. This is just a really good tune-up. You want to get as many opportunities to coach these young players as you can during the summer, especially the guys that are going to be on your roster. But you also want to like sift through all these other guys that could potentially be roster fillers, whether it's G League, whether someone surprises you and can make the big club. So I like summer league as far as like what it brings and how, you know, not only rookies, but, you know, second, third, fourth year players who are trying to fight their way into the league really get an opportunity to shine.
Yeah, summer league is a lot of fun, and I love the fact that the California Classic is getting bigger. It's a fun event. It's a really fun event here. And I think the more that gets added to it, and the fact that the Kings are good now, I think even makes it better.
Yeah.
It's not a fan base that's just, oh, we love basketball, we're going to go support basketball. It's a team that's going to be so antsy for October to get here and opening night to get here that it's going to make that very first California Classic really was amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, just mm-hmm. a sold-out crowd at, like, 2 p.m. was, like, phenomenal. I can see that happening again this year, with or without, you know, these number one and number two picks playing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, if not, like, sold out, it'll be really, really close. Yeah. And I feel bad, you know, the Warriors decided to host it last year, and then they went on a championship run, and I don't think anyone expected that. And to turn around like 2 weeks later, or not even that, like 10 days later, and have to host like a massive tournament in your building and with all the NBA people involved and all that stuff, that was a huge turnaround for them. That was absolutely crazy. And I think they regretted it right away. Like, what are we doing here? You know, we're the Warriors. We don't need to have one of these tournaments. And I think it also, the other cool thing about the California Classic, I think it shows what Sacramento can do, what Sacramento can be if you ever were to give them an all-star game or to branch out and give some other activity. And I think Sacramento is a really good host city.
When the Kings win the championship, they'll happily host the California Classic a week later or 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Like, ain't going to be no, oh, look at the fans didn't come out because they just went to game six because we won in six. They just went to game six. Well, it would be game five because we'd have home court advantage. They just won game five of the NBA. They just won their first NBA championship. We'll be back here 2 weeks later. You could tell Mike Breen, sign the broadcast off. We'll see you in 2 weeks at the California Classic, where another capacity crowd will watch potential G Leaguers play.
The California Classic picks is going to be an intermission for the parade that'll still be going on.
It's like, facts. We'll
stop, go watch the games, and then go back down J Street.
The draft pick will just be inserted on a float as the parade continues. It'll be the longest parade in history.
James, check it out, though. whose call was that? I know we've kind of gone over this before, but I'm bring my memory back for this one. Is this a all like the Kings doing? The NBA isn't in control of the California Classic. So, like, with that being said, like, how did it get to Chase Center last year?
Yeah, I think that was just an agreement between everybody. The Chase Center was new. You know, you're trying to be fair to everybody. I don't know. Like, I always find it strange that the Clippers are never involved in the California Classic, which is, from what I know, that's their choice. It's not like everyone's like, we don't like Steve Ballmer. Let's not invite him and his team. Like, it's just one of those things. Either you put money into it or you don't. It does require a little bit of extra legwork as far as like you're scouting your players, you're building a roster earlier than you normally would. And you're doing it right in the middle of like free agency starts on July 1st, right? So there's always a lot of activity and busyness and craziness to that time anyways. And you add in the fact that you're trying to sign a bunch of unrestricted free agents or you know, like guys that played in the G League or guys that are playing overseas, you're doing it all at the same exact time. So it is really complex, even building out a summer league roster, but at least summer league, like Las Vegas summer league, it starts like, you know, the 8th. That gives you a couple of days of free agency and then a couple of days to build out the secondary roster. And that's why you have, you know, your G League GM is a big part of what's happening with this and everything else. But it is complex, and it's hard to get everybody in line at the same time. And sort of like you're sitting there filling out contracts and doing all this stuff like on the fly. It's pretty wild.
Have you heard anything regarding Jordy Fernandez? Or I'll rephrase that. What's the latest that we've got on Jordy Fernandez?
Well, I think the latest we have is that Jordy is a major league candidate for the Toronto Raptors. But, you know, I have no idea. Like, I don't know if that means he's going to get that job or not. He's just a name that keeps getting mentioned, whether it's Mark Stein or whether it's yourself. I'm kind of hearing the same thing that, you know, he's well liked and he's a big time candidate. But you know, until they actually pull the trigger and actually hire somebody, up in Toronto, then we're kind of like in a holding pattern waiting to see what happens. And I don't think that it will like require the Kings making a major shift. If they do lose Jordy, Jordy's a huge part of what they do, but he's a huge part of a group of guys. You know, it's a team that they've built, the coaching staff, and there are coaches that are ready to step up, whether it's from the back of the back row coaches up to the front of the bench, or guys like, you know, our friend Doug Christie moving over and taking on more of a leadership role with the main guys. We don't know, but you know, guys like Luke Laux are. They're ready. They're ready to take a step up in their career. Laux will be the summer league. You know, he'll coach the summer league team for the Kings this year, from what I know. And all of that's a good thing. Yeah, this is one of those things where, you know, you're trying to grow your organization and your staff and everybody to find success outside of Sacramento as well. And it's a good thing to see guys being mentioned for big time jobs.
I kept hearing the term the lead. He's in the lead. I don't know.
He's in the lead.
I don't know how many interviews they're down to or any of that stuff, but seems they really like him. I'm fascinated though as to like what, like you just mentioned how it's a group. We all know that's like, do you think someone moves up or is this another hire? Like you just outlined the possibilities from in the building. Is this a situation where Mike might have to hit his contact list and bring another coach in?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because as someone brings up, it's something I was going to mention here. Someone brings up in the chat, like Bobby Jackson's been coaching in Stockton for the last 2 years. He was a member of the coaching staff before. Like that might be a guy that you bring back into the fold. Maybe not. I'm not sure. It's also possible that you really like what he's doing down there and you want to see him do it for another season and let him build on his resume as well. Like getting those jobs, like whether it's like coaching the summer league team or it's coaching, you know, like at the G League level, being a head coach, those are just stepping stones and building someone's resume. And they're really good. It's really good to have that experience for a young coach who's looking to grow and to be something bigger next time. Just like Jordy Fernandez was the coach of the summer league team last year for Sacramento. And I can remember during the Michael Malone era, like Chris Gent was the summer league coach. And then they replaced him with Ty Corbin, like on the fly, which was a bad scene. And then we couldn't talk to Ty Corbin because Ty Corbin hadn't officially signed a contract. So he was coaching the team, but hadn't signed a contract. So we couldn't, by league rule, like interview him.
Man, we couldn't even get summer league right. God bless it, man.
I've been through some of these weird things. Yeah, yeah. So, and you know, like other people, like Jill Adge brings up, you know, there are going to be coaches that, you know, that aren't retained. So guys like Sam Cassell that, you know, probably won't be retained in Philadelphia. Dave Yeager, like, I don't know where Dave will land. Like, there's a lot. The coaching carousel hasn't stopped yet just because a couple of coaches have been named head coaches. And, you know, we see Nick Nurse getting the Philadelphia job, and we're still up for grabs who's going to get that Phoenix job, but Doc Rivers is in the running. And so I think we're still waiting for all of the chairs to get filled and see who's left without a chair and then see where they go.
Yeah, that's a fascinating thing we don't think about is the assistants.
Right.
Like, you think about, like, if Doc doesn't get that Phoenix job, that's a lot of really good coaches that are at least temporarily unemployed.
And it's also, oh, go ahead, James.
Being an assistant is a brutal job. It's really, like, you don't get paid nearly as much as a head coach. I mean, there are some assistants that make good money, but most of them don't make great money. And then when your head coach gets fired, whether it's 15 games into a season or at the end of the season, like, you have no idea. You can have a 3-year contract that you might get paid out for, but then you don't have another job coming up and you got to scramble. And it could mean, you know, ending up in a city like Minnesota or some wherever that needs a coach. Even, you know, Boston is it sounds like Emi Udoka is going to pull a bunch of his coaches to Houston. What I read today, I think it was 3 coaches they think will leave Boston and go to Houston. That means that, like, there's going to be jobs all over the place, but that also means you got to pick up your family and go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not easy. Brian Gates is a guy that I always think of in these situations because Brian's like one of the best dudes ever. Just a really, really nice guy, but he has triplets and, like, they just have to pick up and move. So he's in Phoenix right now, but he was in Minnesota before that and, you know, Sacramento and then left and then came back to Sacramento. Like, it's not an easy job, and it's very like, some of these guys make it to be head coaches and get the big payday, but a lot of them don't ever, and they just become career assistants who never make that huge, huge money.
The other thing I was going to say about that is part of, you know, the life of a assistant coach is we talk about, you know, where will they go to replace Jordy. And one other thing is maybe everybody just moves up a seat and they go find another, you know,
Lindsay,
trainer. Yeah, another Lindsay, and Lindsay moves up, and Doug moves up, and all these guys just move up a seat and, you know, maybe keep things going that way.
No, it's very possible. I just think that Jordy has a very unique position with the Sacramento Kings. So he's not an assistant coach. He's the associate head coach, which means that if you get that job, it's actually a promotion. And do you do that with a guy like Jay Triano? Do you do that with a guy like Doug Christie? I'm not sure who becomes your defensive coordinator, which is basically what Jordy was this last year. Mm-hmm. All of the coaches are part of the, you know, defense and offense, but the true, like, offensive scheme guy was Jay Triano. The defensive coordinator guy is Jordy Fernandez. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that, like, moving everyone up a seat might work, especially with Luke Laux, like, being ready to move up. But it just depends on how you want to build your staff and how you want to, like, what labels you want to put on somebody. And it's possible they don't have an associate head coach this next year, that they just have a bunch of assistants. And that's okay too. Everyone's different. Every staff is different, just like every front office is built different.
Mike's got a good coaching tree. It feels like Mike Brown's got to, and it feels like Michael Malone is going to end up with
the Michael Malone coaching tree.
Indeed. Like, he's a guy who is advocating for his guys. Like, James, we talked about this. His David Adelman, you know, wasn't so much a plea, but just an emphatic statement. Like, you need to be talking to David Adelman. Like, he is ready to be a head coach right now. And that's a name, obviously, we heard him here last year. That's a name I haven't heard. And James, you've outlined this a couple of times, like the difficulties of the available jobs. And even in Detroit, that's a difficult job to take for an entirely different reason than taking the Phoenix job is. But maybe this isn't kind of a regular hiring cycle, given the high-end jobs that are available. Maybe it's not suited for David Adelman. But that's not a name that we heard a lot in this cycle of hiring.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, too. You know, we always hear Charles Lee's name mentioned, mm-hmm. at least the last two or three years, where, you know, Darvin Ham had been mentioned for a couple of years trying to get a head coaching job. So you're always waiting for guys to take that step. And I know Michael really pushed hard a couple of years ago for, was it Wes Unseld Jr. to get the job in, where is he at? In Washington? Mm-hmm. And really pushed hard because he had developed as an assistant under Michael Malone. And like, once you get those jobs, though, like, you got to take full advantage. And that's why if I'm Jordy and like, if the Detroit Pistons were knocking on the door, yeah, no thanks, man.
Yeah, that's
now tough. Even the Raptors job, like, Fred VanVleet is a free agent. You know, you've got, there's some major question marks about whether you're going to bring back most of your team. And that's a tough job, but it's also a job with a history of winning, with a great fan base, with fully like a great front office. So you would at least believe that you had an opportunity to succeed there, where like, it doesn't matter how many years and how many $10 million a year contracts they throw at Monty Williams. If I'm Monty, I'm really having a hard time with that, taking that Detroit job. Mm-hmm. Like, there, I mean, we're hearing rumors of a 5-year 50 or a 6-year $60 million deal. Money's nice, but like, that job is just really brutal, really tough to take. And that's why, like, we talked about this last year, like, Mike Brown was easily the most attractive, like, of the finalists for the Kings job, right? There wasn't anyone that was even close. Like Steve Clifford is meh, you know, not, he's never won big. Mike D'Antoni is like pushing 70. And then you had a bunch of young guys who had never won yet. And Mike Brown just was always like the guy right in the middle, perfect age, perfect win percentage, plenty of high level NBA finals experience and every other experience. And so you just kept coming back to him as like being the perfect guy. And my point was always like, why would Mike Brown take the Kings job? I mean, the only reason, like, at that point you take the Kings job is because you get paid for four and you only have to work two. You know, it's like going to the grocery store and getting the extra bag of chips. Like, you buy one, you get one free. Like, that's what it ends up being, because in Sacramento, that you don't last. You don't play out your whole contract, and so you're just going to get paid. But he's changed that. And so I guess that's why Mike Brown takes the job. And, you know, if you think you can make something where someone else couldn't, where a bunch of other people couldn't. I mean, again, he's my ninth head coach in 13 seasons. So it's not like other coaches came in here thinking that they were going to take a paycheck and get out of here. Maybe one, I can kind of circle and say, thought he was getting a paycheck and getting out of here. But, you know, the rest of them were all in, you know, like, think what you will about Luke Walton or Dave Yeager or Michael Malone or Paul Westphal or Keith Smart. They were all in, all of them. They wanted to win here. It just didn't happen. So, yeah, but some of these other jobs, like, like the Detroit job, you're going to be chasing your tail for like 3 years.
We talked about
trying to figure out.
Hammer, we talked about this with Mike last year. I think we all use this kind of expression, which makes me think this is what's happening in Detroit with Monty, that the Kings weren't interviewing Mike Brown. Mike Brown was interviewing the Kings. Monty Williams isn't being interviewed by Detroit. Monty Williams is interviewing Troy Weaver. Bro, what are we doing?
Especially with them spinning the block.
Yeah. man, like it's when you're an organization, like Sacramento, you have a set of questions. When you're an organization like Detroit, and I don't knock Detroit. I feel like they're trying to find their footing. Mm-hmm. I just don't think they're picking a path. Like, I feel like Orlando has picked a path, and this is what they're doing. Charlotte, they don't know what they're doing. Like, they haven't picked a path. Mm-hmm. So it's a unique, in these situations with these types of coaches, I think the interviewing process is unique, because it could be the coaches, in fact, interviewing the franchise. By the way, Jill mentioned, because Jill knows all things about all coaches, David interviewed with Toronto. David Adelman interviewed with Toronto. That's the which of the group makes sense. Mm-hmm. He probably didn't answer the call for Detroit. I don't know that I would, you know, I probably agree with that. And then, you know, the other jobs available are different. Those are different jobs.
It makes you wonder if, like, when Detroit's calling, if your phone says, like, potential spam. That, like, you're like, oh, no. Oh, no, I'm not picking that one up.
They have Troy Weaver programmed as do not answer.
I'm not picking that up. You know, and I, like, this is something, though, like, the reason why the Detroit job is not a good job right now is because you have a bunch of top-tier picks, right? You got former number one in Cade Cunningham, former number five in Jaden Ivey. You got Marvin Bagley's in number two. Jalen Dern's like number 13. Like,
James,
they've got
Wiseman's
talent.
In number two.
Who's that?
James Wiseman.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You have Wiseman. Yeah. So, but this is a point that I would make. It's that Mike Brown took the Kings job because the way I assume he looked at it is that he was able to run because Dave Yeager taught them to crawl, and like Luke Walton helped a couple of guys learn how to walk. And then, you know, Mike Brown is able to take some guys and run with them. Like, that's kind of the way players are in the NBA. You can't build a team solely around young first round picks. It just, like, so few times has ever worked out. And that's where I'll point out, like, the year before De'Aaron was drafted, the Kings drafted Yorgos Papayannis, Malachi Richardson, and Scal Labissiere, and they traded for the rights to Bogdan Bogdanovic. They traded for Buddy Hield in the middle of the season. So in De'Aaron's rookie season, he already had four first-year players on that roster. You get to the next season, the Kings draft De'Aaron, but they also draft Justin Jackson and Harry Giles, Frank Mason. They bring over Bogdanovic. So now in year two, you have nine first and second year players. That's not a team that you can win with at all. Like, and that's what Dave Yeager's second season was in Sacramento. He gets to his third season and he just unleashes this wild, like, fast paced, crazy, did an incredible coaching job just to get that team. But the whole time he was saying, they don't know how to do anything. I'm just hiding what they don't know with what they do. And I'm going to keep doing that until I can teach them. And his coaching staff is doing the same thing. They're working with these guys every day. And that's where, you know, what I mean by Dave Yeager helped this team crawl. And even if only De'Aaron Fox makes it out of that roster, which I think is pretty much all that's left. I think Dave had Harrison Barnes for half a year, right?
Yeah.
Outside of that, like, pretty much the rest of and maybe Rashawn Holmes. The rest of this was like a mess, right? And so they learned a lot, though, and they learned to become pros, and they learned, they got bigger, they got stronger, they got smarter, they understand the game better. And that's where Mike is kind of, he's reaping the benefits of some of that stuff, some of the horrible, painful things that had to go on before.
We'll talk more Kings basketball with our 1320 Kings insider, James Hamm. Kings basketball past, present, and future. When dealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino, returns here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
D'Lo and KC.
D'Lo and KC continues
on ESPN 1320.
We did it at the top of the show. We'll mention it again here as our buddy Will Z is in the chat. Congratulations to Will and his wonderful wife, Hannah, on the birth of their baby girl.
Surprise, surprise.
For the last, I don't know how long, it 6 months, they've been expecting a baby boy. Much to the surprise of everyone in the delivery room. A girl was born yesterday for Will Z.
I'm telling Will Z, get your receipts.
I don't
give them to Kaiser or wherever the baby was delivered. Be like, you guys need to reimburse us.
You're going to need to repaint our nursery, guys. Like this has to be. As a matter of fact, James is headed over to the Will Z house right now to redo all of the.
We've hired a contractor, James Ham. You guys are paying for this. That's crazy.
That's tough. I hadn't heard so much. Yeah, so much goes into like getting a baby room just perfect, and then to have that kind of switcheroo. You know, it's not like you went like the light green, like, and you didn't know the baby sex. You knew, and then you didn't. Yeah, that's tough.
Would you guys, either one of you guys had another kid or a kid, would you want to know? Would you wait to find out?
I don't know, man. I'm a reporter. I got to know everything long before everyone else does. What are you talking about?
He's going to try to find out before Sarah. James is calling his sources at the office to figure out before Mrs. Ham.
Plus, I mean, for the most part, I think you can usually tell, like, baby boys are always way up high. They look like a basketball. And girls are usually down lower. I mean, like, not 100%, but yeah, I would know. And no, I'm not having any more. We're not. No, the finish line is right there. We see the finish line. Yeah. I'm not going full Kenny Caraway and starting over.
Don't ever go Kenny Caraway.
I was halfway home.
Yeah.
So let's do this again.
I ain't even at the starter's line. I'm just moseying around the track. I ain't even worried
about
it.
You're like Matt Damon at the in the air. Remember when he acted like he about to work out?
Oh, yeah. He got on the track. He's like, man, this is hard. That's what I felt like when I held Ryan for the first time. I was like, okay. I was like, Jazz, like, so is this what babies do? Like, she's moving and, like, flailing. Can you make her stop? Like, I don't want
to. It was too much LV in that outfit to worry about a little spit up.
Oh, and then she made this little. Well, it wasn't that. It was the jacket I had on for the live show because I stopped at the Caraway compound for the live show. Because I thought it was close to Sky River. Turns out it really wasn't.
Well, it's close-ish.
Kenny and I going 85 down some back road trying to get to the casino. But I'm holding Ryan, and she just makes this little noise. And I'm like, hey, Jess, The baby just made a noise. And
this thing's broken.
I don't know.
Somebody come get it.
Is this thing defective? But that's what I did. And to Jazz's credit, she was like, you know, I thought about it the second you walked in that jacket. Like, all right, keep an eye on any burps that come from Ryan.
Get your pictures and let's get her out of your hands. Yeah.
I do have my pictures.
And now she's active too, boy. Reese was like really calm. Oh, I think she's going to be the opposite. She's going to be climbing upside down from the balcony somewhere.
And y'all got stairs too. Like, she's going to swanton bomb off the top of the stairs.
Yeah. And get up laughing.
Jeff Hardy.
And laugh after it happened. Give me a heart attack and just be laughing.
James, how old is your youngest again?
So I have a 20-year-old and I have a 15 and a half year old.
Yeah, you right there.
Yeah.
You are right there.
Super close.
You can see it.
Yeah, James
has already started the construction plans for the bedrooms for when these guys move out.
It's just knock all the walls down.
Yeah, James is going to have a one-bedroom house on the lake, but it's going to be a massive bedroom.
I've got my bar. I probably won't mess with anybody's room. Plus, you know, like what they always tell you, like boys don't come home. Girls come home. Boys don't. So... And you guys will get this you guys remember when you started dating your significant other, where do you go for holidays? You go to her parents' house, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it means. Like, boys don't go home a lot of times, that they end up at their in-laws' house, and so you don't get to see them as much. So our house here, we built with the boys, so this feels like home for them. Mm. And so they will hopefully come home, although I might not ever get rid of them. Like, neither one of them have any interest in leaving, so.
Why would they? They got a house on the lake with like four or five boats.
Downgrade somewhere.
You get to go to Kings games for fun. What are they going to go live in a one-bedroom apartment for?
Yeah,
where's the lake view?
rough life we live up here.
Keeping Up with the Hams.
Hey, put that show on ETV.
I'd watch Attorney at Law, Mrs. Ham. James, are you even like, are you excited about this, the draft process at all? It feels so different than what we're used to.
Yeah, I'm excited about the draft process. Yeah, it is different, but it's kind of fun different because, you know, there's only so many things you can do when you're drafting number four. You can either take Keegan Murray, you can take Jaden Ivey. Anything else, you're going to get roasted, right? Maybe you could have taken Benedict Mathurin, but even that would have been like rough. You know, if you're drafting number 12 and Tyrese Halliburton falls somehow magically all the way into your lap at number 12, there's no question there. You're taking him. Even like the Davion pick, there might have been two or three other players right around that range, but let's not act like Davion wasn't mentioned at like number 6, number 7, number 8, and you took him at number 9, because that's what it was like. So when you're at 24, I think you have a little bit more range that you can do. You can gamble a little bit more. You can decide like what you're looking for, especially if you get Sasha Vezenkov to come over. He's a rookie, even though he's not a rookie, but you know he's a rotational player. That kind of gives you a lot of leeway with the draft pick. So you can kind of open your mind up and say, okay, can I take a flyer on somebody who's 19 versus 23? Or do I need somebody right now that's 23 that can still help out and maybe fight for minutes with Kessler or Edwards or fight for a rotation spot, whatever. Like, so I think it does like kind of open up for you to take more risk at 24 than you probably wouldn't, because in this draft in particular, I think once we get to like 15, all bets are off from like 15 to like 40. There's all kinds of players and who knows who will go where, but like you're okay taking a stab at number 24 with somebody who someone else might have at number 38 on their board and just say, hey, like, look, I'm totally intrigued by player X, you know, like, and that can be anybody. Like if Leonard Miller falls, if Chris Murray's there, like there's going to be all kinds of guys that you can look at. And that's where, you know, you can say it's not okay to take a guy that's early second round in most mocks. Yes, it is. At 24, it is. So Trace Jackson Davis, who the Kings just had in, who's, you know, Dale Davis's son. Like, maybe he makes sense to you. Like, he's a rebounder. He averaged 2.9 blocks a game. He averaged 20 points a game. He's not a 3-point shooter, but, you know, maybe he's a guy that can play a 4-5 combo and at the NBA level at 6'9", 250 something. So yeah, there's all kinds of guys here that I think you can take a stab with if you really want to, and you don't have to follow any specific rules, as you know, like I know the Kings have followed so closely over the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's what I'm really looking for with this first round pick. I feel like you can get, and I could understand somebody thinking backwards from what I'm just about to say, but I feel like you really take a shot with this first round pick and look for the more reliable, solid guys with the 2 second round picks, if you keep those picks. But the first round pick, we were talking earlier, I was talking about Monty Bates. Like, that's a high risk, high reward guy. But this is a guy that could potentially, you know, be on the court for you in Game 7 of a first round series against the Warriors, and you running plays for him and getting the ball to him if he reaches that ceiling. I think you need to, like, shop for that type of guy with this 24th pick. And then in that second round, get somebody that, hey, I know this guy is a solid defender and rebounder, and he may not have a high ceiling, but I know what he's bringing to the table. That's the way I would look at it with this type of draft, but I understand people looking at it the other way, where you want something solid in that first round, and you really take your shots in the dark with the second round guy. So,
yeah. So when it comes to Imani specifically, he's just really tough to gamble on because he's got off court issues. You know, and like, even if you look at his off court issues, are they that bad? But you know, we've got these other situations with Ja and stuff like that, that you can start drawing comparisons about. If I'm really looking at like this pick, Imani's tough. If he makes it to the 54th pick, sure, that's not a big deal. But I think that this draft in particular has some solid depth, especially at the wing that the Kings need. And again, I'll go back to like Bates didn't exactly test well. You know, you got some of these guys that are putting up like 43-inch vertical leaps that the Kings just had in. Mm-hmm. And Imani Bates, like, I think his 2-foot jump was like 27 inches, which is not good. That's like a hefty center most of the time. Like, so the athleticism might not be there. The defensive acumen might not be there, but there's other guys. There are all kinds of things that, you know, all kinds of players that I look at and go, okay, that, like, maybe he works. And you're taking a gamble, but I think with me, it's more of taking a gamble between, again, like a 19-year-old Leonard Miller. Like, you know, it's going to take a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Where if you had Leonard Miller and Chris Murray both fall to the same spot, and Chris Murray's almost 23, and you can just basically bring him in and he can be on the back end of your rotation in year one, that's a big deal. But again, you have 3 picks, so the Kings can do all kinds of things that you know, some of the other teams can't do, just because they do have like plenty of options. What they have, they had Jalen Wilson in, right? Mm-hmm. They've had, like, I went through and I wrote on this yesterday, all the players that they had through, but for the life of me,
Keontae Johnson came in like last week or something. Like, has he been in to Sacramento from Kansas State?
It's like possible. But I do know that Dylan Mitchell from Texas came mm-hmm. through. Mm-hmm. So there are guys that you kind of look at who have like the height and like wingspan measurements that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think a lot of the Kings stuff is going to be. Like, they know what they need. They know that they have to get somebody who can play defense. And for me, like, Julian Phillips is somebody who put up a 36-inch vert with a 43-inch max vert, which is crazy. He was in this last week. I'd give him a look. The guys that is really growing on me is Olivier Maxence Prosper out of, why am I drawing a blank? Anyway, I'll figure that one out, where where he played college ball at. But like, these are guys that you really start to look at, and you're studying like sort of their physical profile, because at 24, you're really looking for a Herb Jones, You're not looking for, you know, like a superstar, or even like we were talking about the old Detroit Pistons team, a guy like Tayshaun Prince. That's what you're kind of looking for. You don't need something like crazy and spectacular. That's where, you know, Amani Bates kind of comes in. Like, there's potential for him to be spectacular, but there's also potential for you to land a perfect fit player that can really grow into the position and give you that defensive sort of, you know, versatility that you're lacking right now.
So the funny thing is, ironically,
Omax went to Marquette, by the way.
There we go. That Marquette.
Ironically, and I agree with you. You're looking for a Herb Jones. Herb Jones, a second round guy. Mm-hmm. You can find those guys in the second round, I believe. But I do agree. Like, those are, that's the type of guy you're looking for as well.
So not to be, not at all being dismissive. Like, Amani's the one issue, right? He had a gun charge.
I think he did.
And that was it.
He had a gun charge.
Again,
I don't mean
to make that dismissive. I just want to make sure we're clarifying a single issue versus a series of issues.
And I think that got dropped.
It did.
Because of what, you know, I don't know what happened.
It did. It's just part of the court process.
I read he was borrowing someone's car to go get a haircut. And when he got pulled over for running a stop sign. And when he got pulled over, they said, "Is there anything in the car?" And he said, "Yeah, there's a gun and there's weed." So he knowingly drove a car with gun and weed in it. And when he got pulled over, he told the cops and they found the stuff. And so I think
decision making.
I think if you know
what's in there and you're Amani Bates, you can't get behind the wheel of that car. I'm not eliminating it because of that.
You're right.
And then also, like, I don't know what happened. I don't think it's a legal thing, but I don't know what happened with him at Memphis.
Yeah.
Like, why he left there.
Yeah.
Right.
What happened there as well. So, you know, there are red flags. I absolutely see and understand the reason for the red flags.
There's stuff to look at.
Yeah.
That, and I would make sure, like, he played at two colleges and he's still, what, 20 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would make sure that he didn't play at four high schools or six high schools or three high schools, because that's like a lot of these guys, there's a trend that you can start to pick up on.
Four official, official.
Oh,
351. 351.
Somebody had 338 in here earlier.
He kicked out, but his shoulders were down. 351. James, I think I got Lincoln High School. I think I got two high schools.
Mm.
I think freshman and sophomore year at Lincoln High School, junior season, he transferred to a prep academy that was created by his father.
That actually sounds about par for the course at this point, though.
I will say this.
I mean,
he's just throwing a challenge flag.
That's par for the course.
Yeah. No, I got you.
That's 2023 high school phenom.
I got you. You know what I mean?
Like, that's, you'd be hard pressed to find kids who don't do that at this point.
I'm actually trying to make sure it's just three.
You have to look out for those things. And, you know, I feel for, I've always made this comparison. Like, when you looked at LeVar Ball, right? We had this gigantic personality. And certainly when Lonzo came into the league, his personality and his dad's personality are so counter. Like, Lonzo's so quiet. But you knew that all the, like, the blithering idiot wasn't going to cost Lonzo, because Lonzo was a top three pick. Who he really cost was the one in the middle, right? So LaMelo.
LiAngelo,
right? And then again, LaMelo was so good that there's nothing you can do. But remember, LaMelo played in, like, Ukraine. Like those things aren't normal, and it's not okay. And you ruined a kid's, like, development years being an idiot and taking your kid all over the place. And so, like, it's some of those dads that they just can't get out of the way. And I feel the same thing. Like, Marcus Bagley, he's staying in the draft. He played five games in the last 2 years. And he was in the transfer portal, like, twice. Like, these are the things that, like, Marvin was so good that you had no question that he was going to be a top five pick. Marcus isn't the same. And so Marcus is going to be the one that pays for a lot of this stuff, because it's not just that he's played five games and that he's been injured again and again and again, just like his brother, but you're going to have to deal with his dad too. And it's just not worth it for a lot of these teams. They're going to be like, okay, we could spend a second round pick on a kid who's 6'8 and can jump out of the gym and profiles as a really nice 3-and-D wing, but the track record's there. And I don't think, you know, you want to waste a pick that late on somebody that you just don't know.
I'll say this real quick.
Really quick.
I'm defending LaVar Ball. He did a great job with those boys. He got all three of them in the NBA, and everything he did worked out pretty much perfectly.
Yeah, I think there's an argument to be made. Like, LiAngelo was always the worst of the three ball players, and it didn't.
Everybody went where they were supposed to go.
Yeah, I think that's probably the case. Where we're supposed to go is away, unless you're listening on the Odyssey app or ESPN 1320 AM. Then you can keep listening, because we're just going to run it back here on ESPN 1320.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.